James chapter 1, verse 13, this cannot, in relationship with the Lord, deals with the Lord's holiness. Listen to what the verse says. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, nor tempted with anything wicked. Now, we are not that way. I guess you know that. That flesh that desires sinful things. But God does not have that nature. He is absolutely pure, without any flaw, without any sin. And it does not mean that he has had victory over himself and he has tried real hard and done right all the time. It means he is holy, absolutely holy. He has not that self inside that desires evil. In fact, he hates evil, rightly so. He is so holy, he cannot even really look upon sin. There's no evil in him. I'm glad we have that kind of God. Sin can't even taint him. And that means not only that he is holy and pure and clean, but it also means he does right. If he is right, he does right. We have a holy God that we can trust to run our lives. That's a good thing. The cannot in relationship with the Lord deals with the Lord's holiness, but it also deals with the Lord's hand. Now, you can turn with me or you can just listen. I'll be going through a lot of verses. You can do whichever you want to, but Isaiah 59, verse 1. The Lord's hand as far as cannot. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. Here we see the Lord's hand as far as cannot. And it says his hand is not shortened, that he cannot save. It has the idea of a hand that really the measurement from the tip of the finger to the bottom of the wrist. And I wondered about the Lord's arm. The Bible talks about the Lord's arm. But here it talks about specifically his hand. And I am reminded that this verse, even though we use it so often, directed toward the lost people, this really is directed towards God's people. And it speaks not only about his hand not being shortened to save the lost, but to save God's people who are in a fix. His hand is not shortened. If you look back in chapter 58, the previous chapter, verse 1, the Lord says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. From those verses come the verse I read in 59, verse 1. It is his hand that reaches down to save his sinful people. And it is not shortened. That means he is able. Verse 3 of chapter 58 says, wherefore have we fasted? Here's what Israel's saying. Why have we fasted? Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore hath we afflicted our soul, and thou takest not knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. The people of Israel is talking to God, and God talks back to them. And they are saying to God, why in the world should we fast? Why in the world should we afflict ourselves? You won't hear, you won't answer. Why are we wasting our time? And God said, you say you're fasting, but while you're fasting, you're living life as you please. You're doing it just by routine. You don't mean it from your heart because you're in a sinful state. In other words, he is saying, it is your fault I'm not answering your prayer. It is your fault you're not getting help. Because as verse 1 said of chapter 59, my hand's not shortened. It ain't my fault. My ear's not heavy that I can't hear. It's your fault. But I say tonight, we have a God who can reach us. Now, I can't reach him. There's no way I can't reach that far. But he can reach me. I'm glad his hand's not shortened to where he says, I wish I could get to you. I wish I could help you, but I just can't. No, his hand is able. He is able to help us. He's able to reach us. That means if somebody's lost, he's able to reach down and touch them and save them. But it also means we who are saved, if we need help from him, if we're not right with him and need to get right, or there's some need in our lives, he is able to come and help us with what we need. I am so glad his hand is not shortened and his ear is not heavy. He does come and help and he does come and hear. I thank the Lord for that. Verse 9 says, then shall thou call and the Lord shall answer. He said, if you'll just get right, you'll find out my hand isn't shortened. You'll find out my ear isn't heavy. He says, thou shalt cry, and he shall say, I am here. You cry to me, you get right with me, and I'll show you what I can do. I'll hear you, and I'll answer. That deals with the Lord's hand. I'm talking about the cannots in relationship with the Lord. The Lord's holiness and the Lord's hands. But I thought about this, the Lord's help. As a Christian, we need help. As a Christian, we need help in a lot of ways. But I don't want you to speak audibly, but I wanted you in your mind to say, answer this question. What do you think we need help for more than anything else in our walk with the Lord or even our daily routine called life? What, in your opinion, is the greatest need for believers? I believe this, help from God to learn how to pray. Now, I know there's a lot we need faith and all those things we need come from him through prayer. And that's why I turn to this verse in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself make intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. He said, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, if you will let him, will pray through you. And he will say in prayer what you should pray and what you should say. A lot of times I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I'm afraid so many times we just start blurting out our requests and start complaining to the Lord. And by the way, he did tell us to come boldly into the throne of grace. But at the same time, we all just take a second and say, Holy Spirit who lives in me, pray through me. You know what I need to pray for. You know what I need to say. And we submit to him who lives in us and yield to him. We cannot pray as we should, but he can. And he can say what we ought to say and would say if we knew what to say. Oh, I'm so glad. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to cheapen it, but that'll liven up your prayer life. It'll help us to pray when we stop trying to pray ourselves and we yield to him who knows what to pray and knows what to say and is in complete communion and agreement with the Father, where he'll say the same thing the Father would suggest that we say. We cannot say these things, but the Holy Spirit can. I thank the Lord for the fact that we can communicate with the Lord and get help from him. But we need to pray rightly. I have mentioned first the cannot in relationship with the Lord. Let me mention number two, cannot in relationship with learning. 1 Samuel 25:17. I guess you realize, and that's my first point, by the way, that you need to learn some things. In fact, I need to learn a lot of things. In fact, there are some things we need to unlearn and relearn the right way. But we need to learn some things, and we need to learn what the Lord tells us that's right. Could have mentioned first, learning deals with realizing. Realizing I need to learn. Realizing I'm not near as smart as I think I am sometimes. Realizing I don't know everything. In fact, I don't know hardly anything. Realizing I ain't smart, I don't know everything I need to learn. And listen, knowing I need to listen to the right one. You can learn a lot of stuff. Well, I tell you what, this news about our schools is just so depressing. And the stuff they're teaching now. And these students are just absorbing it and believing it and being brainwashed. And that our country's based on white supremacy and all this stuff, I'll tell you what, it's ruining the country, and it's going to get worse if God doesn't intervene. So we need to learn that we need to listen, but we need to listen to somebody who knows the truth and somebody who will tell the truth. We need to, listen, realize I need to listen. I need to learn. Well, here's a fellow who didn't realize that. 1 Samuel 25:17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master. Let's talk about Nabal. One of Nabal's servants is describing his master, Nabal. Is determined against our master and against all his household. Listen, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. He says, my master is so hard-headed. He thinks he knows everything. He thinks he's right about everything. And it doesn't matter who comes and no matter what they say, they are wasting their time. Nobody can speak to him because he thinks he knows everybody. You know what that means? He didn't realize I need to learn some things. By the way, if his wife hadn't intervened on it for him, he'd have been a dead man. But his wife took care of the situation. Learning deals with realizing I must realize I need help, I need to learn, and God's the one that can teach me. But learning deals not only with realizing, but receiving. We got to receive. We get information. It can be the best information and the right information, and the timing is right, but if we don't receive it, it'll do us no good. So the learning deals with receiving. Listen to what Jesus said in John 16:12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot hear them, bear them now. He says, I have a lot of things, many things to tell you. That means they need to realize he knows something I don't know. And I need to listen to what he says. I need to receive it. I need to open up. I need to accept it. But he says, I have. Listen, all truth comes from him. All right comes from God. And he says, I have something to tell you, but you're not able to bear it. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you. It implies there's something I know that I want to tell you that you need that will help you if you'll listen. But right now, you can't handle it. He knows something I don't know. Well, there's no shock about that. But we need to receive what he says when he says what he does. He says, there's many things. I'm not near as smart as I think I am. There's a whole lot of things I need to know. He says, you cannot bear them now, which suggests there may or there will come a time when they can bear them or can understand them. To bear means to comprehend. He said, if I told you right now, you'd go, what? Oh, I don't understand. He says, because you don't know yet, you can't bear it now, you're not equipped now, but there may be, hopefully, there will be a time when you can bear it, you can comprehend it, you can understand it. He says, it's like taken an algebra book into a kindergarten class. Those little kids are going to say, huh, I don't understand this. You're going over their head. And he said, that's what it's like spiritually for you right now. So, you need to keep on walking with me? You can't bear it right now. That means, that suggests later on you maybe can if you'll keep walking with me, if you'll keep listening to me. And even further later on, it says in John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit, has come, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll guide you into all truth. What's the difference? Well, you've matured a little bit, but the big difference is the Holy Spirit's living inside of you. He who knows all things lives in you, and he'll tell you what you need to know when you need to know it. I'm talking about the learning deals with receiving. Then I want to mention number three, the cannot, not only that in relationship with the Lord and with learning, but with lust. And I mean by that, desire. The word lust surely can mean something sinful and horrible, wicked, but it also means desire. In John, 1 John 2:16, it talks about the lust of the flesh. But it also has the idea of a human desire, like food or water or sunshine. And there's a lot of cannots dealing with lust in the Bible. I want to mention some of them. There's a caution relating to lust, 1 Samuel 12:21. And turn ye not aside, for then shall you go after vain things, listen, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. He says, be careful. There's a caution in this verse to watch out for your lusts and your desires that war in your members. He says, there's some vain things, and those vain things cannot profit you. They cannot help you. They cannot benefit you. They cannot make you happy. So he says, avoid them. Turn aside. Get away from them. Don't go after them because they cannot. He says, you got a desire, that lust, and you want that desire filled or fulfilled or met with those vain things in the world. It's not going to fill that lust, that desire. It's not going to satisfy you. It's not going to fulfill you. The caution relating to lust, but also the conflict related to lust. Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. He says there's a flesh inside, there's a Spirit inside of you, saved. And they are completely contrary, absolute opposite, more opposite than black than white, more opposite than hot and cold, more opposite than daylight and dark. Oh, they're total opposites. And because you, as a human, have that human nature, that flesh, you cannot do the things of God. You cannot do the things that are right. You cannot on your own do those things that please God. Not as long as your flesh is in control. You'll not do, you cannot do the things that you would. Things that you want to do. I want to do right. I want to pray. I want to witness. I want to love. I want to be patient. I want to please God. I want to help people. But so many times the flesh says, there's a lust involved. We either decide to do what God wants or what we want. And that leads me to the next. The chains. Chains relating to lust. The caution and the conflict, but the chains. This is so amazing. Genesis 19:19. Behold now, this is Lot speaking. Behold now, thy servant have found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy. And he should have stopped there. He should have said, God, you've been so good to me. Whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, is fine with me, because I don't deserve anything. But the dummy didn't stop there. He says, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. If he'd stayed in Sodom, he'd been dead with the rest of them. But God let him out. Listen to this. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. It makes me want to smack him. He went to Sodom. He lived among them. He looked like them, acted like them, talked like them, to where when he was being led out, they said, huh? He knows God? We didn't ever know that. And God is delivering him and his family, and he says, get out of Sodom, get out of Gomorrah, and don't even look back. And Lot says, well, you know, I really don't want to go to the country. I really don't want to go to that mountain. I don't want to go out and live in mountains. I don't want to go out and live in caves. I cannot do that. Send me to a city. I'm telling you, he is chained by his lust. There's chains relating to lust. And we can also be chained if we aren't careful. Let me finish very quickly if I can. I've dealt with the cannots in relationship with the Lord and with learning and with lust. And let me deal with this. Cannot in relationship to labor. Labor. Serving the Lord. Labor deals with fear, I believe. Listen to Jeremiah 1:6. Then said I, Jeremiah, oh, Lord God, that sounds like me. Behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. God has told Jeremiah, I got something for you to say, and I want you to go and say it. And Jeremiah says, I cannot speak. I'm a child, kind of like Moses. I can't do it. What does that mean? He was afraid. Labor deals with fear. But then in verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. He said, don't you be afraid because you feel like you can't. I got news for you. You can't, but I'm going with you, and I can. So you go and let me speak. You labor faithfully, trusting me. Verse 9 of Jeremiah 1. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He said, I did what I said to do. I've touched your mouth. Now all you got to do is open it and let me speak through it. His fear was unfounded. He said, I cannot speak. But God said, oh, yes, you can with me. Labor deals with fear. I'm talking about the cannot in relationship with labor. Labor deals with fear, but labor also deals with flesh. Jesus, remember what I mentioned? He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the other and hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And that's the truth. He said, you can't serve God and the world. You can't serve God and yourself. Labor deals with flesh. Before I can labor for the Lord and serve him, I got to deal with flesh somehow. I have to decide, and so do you, to not go by the flesh. To realize this flesh will hold me down. This flesh will stop me from doing anything for the Lord. So I must trust the Spirit and deny the flesh. Because I can't serve both. And then also labor deals with fruit. Listen to Matthew 7:18. Jesus, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. He says the problem or the issue with fruit is the root of the tree or the vine. And if you got a bad root or if there's a bad vine, you ain't going to get good fruit. So his point is this. If you want to labor for me and do right for me and serve me and please me and be a good testimony to me, you better make sure you're right inside, that your heart is clean, that your root, that your heart is right. Because an evil heart can't bring forth good fruit. Labor deals with fruit. And that's why Jesus said, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. We're like the branch and he's like the vine, the trunk. And that branch has no hope of giving forth fruit if it's not connected to the vine, to the trunk. Because the trunk connects to the ground that brings the nutrients. And once that branch breaks free of the vine, it becomes a stick. It's no longer a branch, and there is no fruit. It cannot bear fruit of itself. So there's a labor that deals with fruit. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Like that branch without the vine, it can't do a thing. And then there's labor that deals with forgiveness. It deals with fear and flesh and fruit. But labor for the Lord deals with forgiveness. Listen to this verse, Joshua 24:19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. He says, you cannot serve the Lord because you ain't right with him. And until you get right with him, he's not going to forgive you, and he surely ain't going to use you. He is implying here, if you'll get right, he'll forgive you, and he'll use you. But in your present state, you cannot serve him. That means they had to confess and repent. I guess I can tell you, Kathy Lee Gifford or whatever on the news, was it this morning? I don't know, since it's been a long time since 3 o'clock this morning. I think it was the day, and she's got a book about Jesus, and she's talking about everybody has their own Jesus. Well, I got worried right then. Number one, I was worried already, and she said, Jesus, they talk about that he's so harsh and so hard and so unforgiving, and she said, oh, he went around loving everybody and accepting everybody, and I thought, well, you really don't know much about the Jesus of the Bible. He loved everybody, and he would have accepted everybody if they would have come his way. So labor deals with forgiveness. We got to be right with him if we expect to labor for him successfully. And then lastly, labor deals with faithfulness. Nehemiah 6:3. Nehemiah is talking, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? Sanballat and Tobiah called for Nehemiah and said, come on, let's talk about this thing. They were trying to stop the building of the wall. And Nehemiah said, I cannot come down to talk to you. I am too busy. The task is too important. I ain't coming. It deals with faithfulness. He remained faithful, though tempted to slack off or to quit. Luke 14:20, another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. An excuse to not be faithful. An excuse to not go, to not do. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. He said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to give up everything and everybody. Does that mean we can't love our family, can't enjoy life? No, no, no. But he said, I need to come first. You can't follow me while you're following somebody else. Cannot deals with labor, and that deals with faithfulness. And in this day, could you stand me saying it one more time? In this difficult day, we need to be faithful like never before. And we need his help to do it. God is looking for someone who will be faithful. And guess what? For that person who says, I will, he will help us to do it. What a good God we have. Let's stand together. For a moment, every head bowed and every eye closed. If you